I'm on my JJ Watt. I'm hot. 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 I'm on my JJ Watt.
We got some talented people, do we not, Douglas? Talented people.
Look at your own phone this morning and answer this question. How many times did you text someone or receive text yesterday about J.J. Watt? I don't even mean you personally, Wolf. I mean anybody.
Yeah.
Everybody in this city was engaged with somebody at some point yesterday about J.J. Watt being an Arizona Cardinal.
I love it, man. Yeah, J.J. Watt is an Arizona Cardinal, ladies and gentlemen. What is your first thought when you think of that? Oh, my goodness. That, to me, is this is the answer. This is the proverbial answer to the questions that I've had. Physical, more physicality on the line of scrimmage, on both sides of the ball in particular, and culture. That is the very first thing I thought of. The passepartout. The skeleton key that unlocks all doors for the Arizona Cardinals in that regard. Could he possibly be that player? We're going to find out.
It's really simple, and I don't mind the gamble. Granted, last year at this time, we were all jacked up and excited about the trade for DeAndre Hopkins, and we thought that was a game changer. And you're a 500 team. You didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, but so, it wasn't like he didn't have a good year.
Right.
He had a good year.
So you look going forward, it's kind of the same thing. J.J. Watt's healthy. This is a dramatically improved football team. J.J. Watt isn't healthy. You just cost yourself Hassan Reddick and Pat P if you truly wanted to keep them salary cap wise, and you didn't get all that much.
Obviously, the Cardinals believed that J.J. Watt would be worth it. Think about the defense they have now. They have Chandler Jones on one side. Patrick Peterson is a pending free agent. I know for the right number, they would like to re-sign him. Hassan Reddick, also free agent, would like to have him back as well. We'll see if they could all make it happen. But J.J. Watt now joins a very, very good and improved defense.
That's NFL.com's Ian Rappaport. The interesting thing there, it's easy to say we'd like to have him back.
Yeah.
Very easy to say. Now, are you saying that on a veteran's minimum, which they would never sign, and then you're just joking? Or are you serious? You can re-sign them, but the only way to do it is to kick the can. Meaning you've got to sign them to a contract where you are spreading out the salary cap hit over the years where the cap goes back up. And you're asking them to take a high salary or a high luxury tax, a high signing bonus figure that you could spread out over time, some roster bonus guarantees later on in the contract. Basically, you're offering them a deal that's not as good as they'll get somewhere else. So they've got to be willing to sign for a deal that, quite frankly, doesn't suit them very much. So I think this signing of J.J. Watt, if you were serious about Hassan Reddick and Pat P, has probably cost you Hassan Reddick and Pat P. However, I don't mind that. I mean, I hate to say it, but if I have my choice of Hassan Reddick and Chandler Jones or J.J. Watt and Chandler Jones, I'm choosing the latter. And with Pat P., I trust that there's going to be a lot of other corners in this draft that are suddenly better. J.C. Horn is a better player this morning if he gets drafted by the Cardinals than he would have been yesterday if he got drafted by the Cardinals.
There's no doubt about that. A corner's best friend is a pass rusher. Listen, what does this mean for the Arizona Cardinals? I think in summation here, Pat P is gone. Hassan Reddick most likely is gone. I think it ensures Devon Kennard is a June 1st cut. I think Larry Fitzgerald comes back. I think there's a new counterculture that is going to take root in the Arizona Cardinals locker room. I think this team becomes more physical on the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. There's a lot that I think is going to change because of J.J. Watt.
For years, you have sat in that chair in the Auction Community Studios and said Larry Fitzgerald's going to retire.
Yes. Four years in a row.
This is the first time I've ever heard you officially say you think he's coming back now.
Yeah, you know, I do. I think this is maybe, and we were talking about this, maybe this is exactly what he was waiting for. The one thing I've been thinking about Basinonians is why is it taking Larry Fitzgerald this long to make up his mind as to whether or not he was going to retire? I thought when the season was over, I think we all can see the handwriting on the wall. He was not healthy all year long as well, got all banged up. Maybe this is just going to be it for Larry Fitzgerald. And I thought we'd get an announcement soon after the Super Bowl, maybe even the week before the Super Bowl, that Larry was going to retire. That was not the case. And then all of a sudden, well, it's certainly going to be over the next week, over the next 2 weeks. That has not happened. What is Larry Fitzgerald waiting for? Maybe he was tipped off. You speculated about this earlier, and I think you're right. Maybe he was tipped off that, hey, you know what, there might be a signing here for us to bring J.J. Watt in. And maybe that was appealing to him, and maybe that brought him the same energy we all feel today. If you're a Cardinal fan, the same energy. Red Sea, do you not feel it? The waves on the Red Sea. The tumult that is forming right now because of this news of J.J. Watt.
This is a week and a half ago.
Maybe it's had the same impact on Larry.
A week and a half ago, February 19th. Steve Keim, have you reached out to J.J. Watt?
Well, listen, guys, I don't want to get into details, but as you know, I mean, if there's an opportunity that makes sense on both the football side and the business side, we'll certainly take a swing. But it's fun to see your players get involved. Obviously, Hop's a guy that I got a great deal of respect for, and not just as a player, but obviously the addition to him has certainly improved our recruiting game.
If he says that a week and a half ago, how would he not have told Fitz?
Hey, listen, Lair, just wanted you to know, little heads up here.
Things are going well. Here's Kurt Warner yesterday, Burns and Gambo.
You know, yeah, there's always a risk when you're taking a guy that's a little bit older and, you know, in that free agent market, but that's the nature of the business. And I love that Steve Keim continues to look for ways to say, hey, I'm not gonna play this game scared. I'm not going to sign guys and draft, you know, being scared. I'm going to go out there and say, hey, I'm going to, you know, shoot my shot, and I'm going to take a chance to get a quality guy and a quality player in J.J. Watt that can help us hopefully win our division and have a chance in the playoffs.
Man, a new counterculture is on its way to Big Red's locker room. What will that look like, Doug Lease? That's the thing I want to know. I hope that it signals a new direction and how this game is going to be played, especially on the line of scrimmage here. There's a new dog barking on this team, and he needs to be fed. I don't know if you've listened to some of the mic'd up versions of J.J. Watt, but oh my goodness, I got to tell you, Basinonians, it filled me with a rage. Just listening to him talk once again. Why? Because of how he plays the game. Because of how he goes about his business when he's on the football field. It's not like he's out there some wilting lily. This guy plays the game in a very physical way. His hands are still violent. He plays this game with what he's got. And I love that. And it fills you when you hear somebody challenging other men right before a game to go out and do the same thing. Go out and play with everything you've got. I can tell you right now, it fills me with an intensity that just overflows because of the emotion of the game. And all the feelings and emotions that I have towards Mother Gridiron. To listen to him talk is something. We got to pull that, Minch. Listen to J.J. Watt talk about the game of football on the field. This is there's a new dog barking in this locker room, and he carries an awful lot of field cred.
Coming up next, the signing of J.J. Watt yesterday made one day in April very interesting for the Arizona Cardinals. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Not only the number one story here in Phoenix, but for most of the day yesterday, it was the number one story in America. And if you go to ESPN.com as late as, you know, 22 hours later, it's still ranked as the fifth biggest story in America right now. J.J. Watt, two-year deal, is a member of the Arizona Cardinals. Good morning. It's Doug and Wolf in the Octon Community Studios. One of our favorite guests is Louis Riddick. He joined us about 2 years ago before the ASU-Cal game that he was doing. Talked a lot about Herm Edwards, and you see him all over ESPN's draft coverage, and he's also featured now along with Brian Griese as part of Monday Night Football. And yesterday, he was all over fit.
I think the fit is fantastic when you're just looking at it from a schematic standpoint, Sage, because look, Vance Joseph is very multiple in terms of the defensive coordinator of the Cardinals, in terms of how he likes to use nickel and dime sub packages to get after the passer if he can get you in second and long and third and long. And he's very creative with that. And when you think about this, J.J. Watt, if they can get Hassan Reddick, who is a pending free agent, re-signed, and then Chandler Jones coming back. Look, Chandler Jones, over the past 5 years, who are the top two pass rushers in the NFL over the past 5 years in terms of sacks? It's Aaron Donald and Chandler Jones. Chandler Jones has 61 sacks over the past five seasons. So I think from a schematic standpoint, if you're a quarterback in the NFC West, if you're Russell Wilson in the NFC West, as he's talked about not wanting to be hit anymore and really starting to get concerned with that, well, I'm sure your concern level just went up a few notches because Arizona's coming for you as far as getting after the quarterback.
If you haven't heard, Chandler Jones put out a tweet yesterday, and it said, "Also feel bad for my guy, RW3, LOL.
Oh, my goodness. Listen, what does this do for the Arizona Cardinals right now? I think specifically it makes them so much more physical inside the box and on the line of scrimmage. They're going to use J.J. Watt as a three technique, basically. They'll line him up over the outside shoulder of an offensive guard. They'll move him down. It's called a sink. He's going to play defensive end for him, but they're going to move him down. They'll move him as a five technique as well. Put him on the outside shoulder of a tackle. Put him in a wide nine all the way outside of an offensive tackle. They're going to move him around in rundown situations, of course, and I'm sure they'll do the same thing in nickel. Where are you going to put J.J. Watt in nickel? Are you going to move him over a guard? Maybe you're going to do that. Maybe you're going to do that. Maybe you're going to put him alongside Chandler Jones. Maybe you're going to move him on the other side of Chandler Jones, as KVB was talking about. Kyle VandenBosch joined us earlier here. The point is, in nickel, I think, man, I could see them even standing J.J. Watt up sometimes. I think Vance Joseph he's finally got the pass apart too. The key that unlocks all keys to actually help his defense be all that he wants. Vance Joseph, when he came here, he was known as a guy that was very, very creative in terms of five-man pressures. We're going to go ahead, we're going to play man, we're going to close the middle of the field, and we're going to bring five. Those five-man pressures, you just don't know which five are coming. Boy, I think that's going to be back right now in full force. I'm so excited to see this impact that J.J. Watt has tangibly on the field.
One of the things I can't wait, I think everybody goes through their initial reaction of shock and awe, and then you go through, okay, how does this affect the Cardinals? And then for me, I started to dig a little bit deeper yesterday and thought of something else, and that was, do you think Carson Wentz has started to see ghosts?
I think he did, certainly in Philly.
Do you think Deshaun Watson is done in Houston?
Yeah, I do.
Do you think Carolina will start someone other than Teddy Bridgewater?
No. They'll try.
Okay, I was thinking they're going to trade up and draft a quarterback and probably not start Teddy. Do you think Foles or Trubisky are going to be the starting quarterback in Chicago, or do you think they're going to do something?
Yeah, I don't think so.
And you would agree Trevor Lawrence, starting quarterback in Jacksonville?
Yes.
Those are five teams that are on the Cardinals' schedule next year.
Oh, boy.
And I'm really interested to see mid-April when the schedule comes out. And let's throw Dak Prescott on there.
It's kind of like your power poll.
When Dak is totally healthy, he's going to be great again. But is he really going to be totally healthy in the first 2 weeks of September? So if you give me Dallas, and that's a little bit of an if, I just gave you six teams on the Cardinals schedule. Houston, Carolina, Chicago, Jacksonville, Dallas, and Indianapolis. If these games are early in the year, when Wentz is, he doesn't have to have a time learning the scheme, but he does need to figure out what's going on in his quarterback life. Houston's going to have these quarterback issues. Carolina might be on a new quarterback. Trevor Lawrence, rookie quarterback. If the schedule comes out and you've got a lot of the younger quarterbacks in the September, extremely early October portion of the schedule for the Cardinals, your introduction into the NFL is Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt.
Man.
And if you chuck something up, Buda Baker behind. I mean, you talk about how dramatically important the schedule is going to be for the Cardinals of just when these games are. Not that Chandler Jones and J.J. Watt are any less formidable in December against the Trevor Lawrence, but don't you want these teams changing around quarterbacks having to face the Cardinals early before they get rolling? Maybe even I throw, by the way, Jared Goff's on this list. The Cardinals play Detroit. And Matthew Stafford, one of the Rams games you wouldn't mind being early before Stafford's totally assimilated with the offense.
Yeah, no, it's a great point, Doug Lease. It really is. Listen, J.J. Watt and the mentality and bringing that mentality, and Chandler Jones, of course, the combination thereof, Buda Baker. You were talking about this for me. Is this going to provide a little aid, comfort, and shelter to Buda Baker? I guarantee you right now, J.J. Watt's going to watch Buda Baker play, and he's going to absolutely fall in love with him if he hasn't already because of how Buda Baker goes about his business. Because of Chandler Jones. One of the best qualities about Chandler Jones, Basinonians, is the fact that this is one of the best guys you're ever going to want to meet. I kid you not. He is a guy that he got better when he got paid. I never forget that, what it says about a human being when they get this truckload of money. They get paid, and they get better on the field. What? Rarely does that happen. Part what? Yes. Rarely does that happen. And now all of a sudden, you've got these guys, and Buda Baker is going to be better. Jordan Phillips. Jordan Phillips needs a bounce back year, and hopefully J.J. Watt is going to provide that wattage for that bounce back.
We're actually having a listeners-only meeting coming up in about 5 minutes, so you're going to get the chance to weigh in on your feelings about J.J. Watt. If you're in the hold your horses crowd, check yourself, pump the brakes, or if you're absolutely losing your mind. I wanted you to hear this because this happened on Bickley and Murata yesterday. You started this the show today really jacked for juice, in which you really wanted everyone to know your 2020 breakdown of the Texans defense says you see a lot of juice in JJ.
Yes.
That even though you're still couching it like everybody else, he's got to stay healthy. But you saw a guy with plenty of energy, plenty of punch, plenty of desire last year on film.
No doubt. He played over 1,000 snaps and he was good.
Do you respect Charles Davis?
Yes.
Of Fox and then CBS as well.
Yes.
Now, as he moved over. Charles Davis was on Bickley and Murata yesterday, and when asked about the injury situation and what he sees on film.
I think he's got a lot of juice left. And when I say a lot, I'm not saying we're going back to the salad years, right, of 18 sacks per year. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
That's a little bit different. But you plug in the tape, and in my estimation, I'm only going to speak for myself. I'll speak for no one else. Our crew had the Texans early last year at Pittsburgh, and he played well. But again, no real help along the line. And, you know, he does a very good job of moving up and down the line of scrimmage, trying to find the best matchups to exploit and create. But it's really, really difficult no matter what if there's no one else to take any heat off of you. Right? No one else that people have to really respect. You're always going to run into two or three people.
But Pro Football Focus says he was the most double-teamed edge rusher in all of the NFL last year. So if you're saying he's got juice, here's Charles Davis saying, I can tell you he's got juice left, and talking about how many people he would run into on his way to try to hit Ben Roethlisberger. That makes sense with what Pro Football Focus is saying. And man, you mentioned Jordan Phillips. If you're double-teaming one of these two guys on the outside, maybe even two, even though it's not really possible, somebody's got to be free.
I honestly, right now, I put that tape on, and I was, I don't want to say shocked. It's J.J. Watt, after all. But I put that tape on, and I was surprised, ladies and gentlemen. He could still move. They line him up on the edge. He still gets the edge. And one of the reasons why he still gets the edge is because his baseline, his bowl, he'll bowl you. And because of that, he can still get that edge because so many guys are waiting on that bowl. He's physical with his hands, violent with his hands still. The versatility of this guy, you can line him up anywhere across the board. He's a multi-gap player.
Some guys are waiting on that bowl, and some of us are waiting on you.
Yeah.
It's your turn.
602-260-9877.
It's listeners only meeting time. J.J. Watt is a Cardinal. Stand on the table or jump. That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
The listeners only meeting on the Doug and Wolf Show.
Whenever there's big news, we ask you to weigh in.
602-260-9870.
I'm not asking the cheese ball question on a scale of 1 to 10. But I am asking you, where are you right now? Are you losing your mind? This is the greatest day in Cardinals history? Or are you looking at it like, wait a minute. The guy's hurt all the time. Relax. All of you guys calm down. Where are you on the scale of buying Super Bowl tickets on one hand and check yourself, you don't believe in anything, on the other? 602-260-9870 is the phone number. Gary in St. Louis. Listening to the Doug and Wolf Show on the app. Gary, good morning. What say you? Losing your mind or the Cardinals have lost their mind?
Somewhere right in the middle, you know. It's exciting to see Mr. Bidwell push them chips into the middle of the table. As Ron Wolfley always says, I think the key is to win the NFC West. You got to win your division. I think that's the key that unlocks the doors. The greatest day in Cardinal history is yet to come, and I think we all know what we're talking about.
That's a nice, Gary, that kind of gets me fired up just by you saying that. That's a good phone call.
Gary, where in St. Louis do you live?
There's Daniel, Tom, and Frank are already. Already took Next. Gary's line right there. But Gary, that's awesome that you're listening in on the. I love the phrase, the best day in Cardinals history is yet to come. That kind of gets you fired up. Daniel in Phoenix. Daniel, good morning. Are you losing your mind or do you think the Cardinals are losing their mind?
I'm losing my mind, man. I think for myself, I mean, I've been the biggest critic of Steve Keim and, you know, the Cardinals organization. I mean, I love my hometown team, but they've always seemed to me like they've had a way of being kind of conservative. And even when we went to the playoffs a couple years ago with Bruce and we played in Carolina, we got smoked. I'm like, okay, now you see what we need help with. Let's go get that next year and let's go for it. And they didn't do that, and it was frustrating. And we kind of took a back seat with Steve Wilks. But when you put all your chips in and you waste a tenth pick on Rosen and you go get another quarterback like Murray and then you go hire an offensive coordinator like you did with the head coach we got now, you're saying let's go for it. So I'm so happy and so proud of them to say, you know what, let's go for it. So let's go for it. Let's go get it. Add one more piece on the offensive line. I think we're good to go. Thank you, guys. Have a great day. God bless you.
Thank you, Daniel.
Good on, Daniel, no doubt.
You know, I think there's a lot of people that, for some reason, don't have, in my opinion, the right kind of balance with Steve Keim. If you want to talk about the draft, rip him. I mean, he's not doing well enough at the draft. But when you look at the tenure, the wins, and you look at the Jared Valdir signing, the Carson Palmer trade, the David Johnson trade, now you look at the J.J. Watt signing.
DeAndre Hopkins, which is the David Johnson. But
as you look at too many, he does deserve to be ripped for the draft, but too often people hold on to that and they don't look at the other side. You've got to look at every aspect, and Steve Keim deserves a ton of credit, in my opinion.
Judge a general manager on roster building. That's ultimately what you should judge him for. Not just the draft, not just free agency. Judge him on roster building.
Tom and Gilbert, good morning, Tom. You're on with Doug and Wolf. Tell me, are you losing your mind or do you think the Cardinals have lost theirs?
No, I try never to lose my mind. I think this solves two immediate issues. One, culture. I think
Love
a
it.
Player of his stature, both, you know, on the field and off the field, really, I don't know, settles that locker room.
and identify as a leader. The other thing is identity, true identity. If Cliff Kingsbury is willing to remain humble, the identity of this team can now shift away from Kyler Murray, forcing other coaches now to really scheme against a defense and let the defense do its job. Then it kind of takes some of the pressure off of this high-flying illusion of complexity offense, and let these guys just play. I really do think that this signing really contributes towards establishing a solid identity and a great culture within the room.
Absolutely.
I just wanted to say before you guys hang up on me, your Newsmakers Week is like top notch. Thanks for having that. It's great. Have
you,
a great day, guys. Bye.
Thank you, Tom.
No doubt, Tom. But let me just say this right here. The Arizona Cardinals last year had a hard time with consistency. In other words, the sense of urgency and the intensity for every opponent. They had a tendency to play up and down to their opponent right now. I think J.J. Watt's going to even that out a lot.
And Tom, first of all, that was really nice of you to say about Newsmakers Week. I don't want you to feel like I'm hanging up on you. I just feel bad for the people on hold, so I want to get to as many phone calls as we can. The one thing you said, though, as it relates to, I really like what you said about Cliff, but keep in mind there's a flip side to that. It also gives Cliff the freedom to be even more aggressive offensively because he wants to get a lead, so you've got to throw against this defense and therefore expose yourself to the pass rushers. This is kind of cool. Let's go to Peyton, who is listening to us in Phoenix, right? Phoenix City, Alabama.
What?
First of all, Peyton, Roll Tide or War Eagle? I got to ask that.
Oh, Roll Tide.
Okay, there you go. Because, man, my 5 years in Madison, Alabama, man, do I love Alabama. Roll Tide! But I also love Auburn, too. Now, number two, Peyton, have you lost your mind for J.J. Watt, or do you think the Cardinals lost theirs?
No, I think it was a fantastic move. Especially with what you're getting, him being healthy last year and his maturity and the leadership he's bringing to the locker room, it sets a whole new tone. It's bringing in the new culture. But what I love about it is if we can take the acquisition of J.J. Watt and then you can also sign Hassan, you know, bring him back, and that gives you flexibility for injury. And so then my big question is, well, with this acquisition on defense, what are you going to do in the draft? Do you trade our draft pick? Do you trade Patrick? Do you trade a couple to move in to get Patrick Surtain? Big Alabama fan. I'm telling you, he'd be fantastic. But I think the acquisition of J.J. Watt would be beautiful with the acquirement of some defensive players in this draft so he could coach them and lead them into the future.
Sure. Peyton, there's a lot of neat thoughts there. There's just one problem, and that is I don't see how you fit Hassan Reddick under the cap. And you talked about trading a free agent, which you can only do if you franchise them. And I think that would be a horrible move to franchise Pat P. So I don't think those criteria work. Surtain is my favorite corner in the draft. I just don't think there's any way he's there at 16. And I don't think there's a reason to give up enough to trade up and get him when you have a J.C. Horn, a Caleb Farley, and other corners that probably will be there at 16. I don't think trading up is really worth it.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. What does this do to that number 16 pick? Is it corner, or is it offensive lineman, interior offensive lineman?
It's time for Character Counts. It's brought to you by Parker and Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical. Arizona Cardinals quarterback did something really cool if you haven't read about it. Donated 60,000 meals. Not $60,000, more than that. 60,000 meals to the North Texas Food Bank after the state experienced the crippling winter weather last week. Murray's from the Dallas area, and he actually experienced the storm firsthand because his power went in and out. He didn't have hot water, that he told the Arizona Republic. So the 2019 Offensive Rookie of the Year reached out to the food bank and asked how he could help those in need, and Murray called helping them a no-brainer. It means the world to be being able to give back, said Kyler. It's really bigger than anything that I could do. Obviously, sports is my thing. Football is my thing. but I think I have a bigger purpose.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Isn't that right, Kyler?
That's a very,
well done.
Very good story from Kyler Murray. And this week is brought to you by Parker & Sons Heating, Cooling, Plumbing, and Electrical, the proud partner of Character Counts, where they just awarded a $10,000 scholarship 2 weeks ago to Character Counts, and students that are around the area had an opportunity to win it, and it was given to an Odyssey High School student. Now it's your turn for next year's $10,000 scholarship. Who, in your opinion, exemplifies great character both on and off the field? All you have to do to let us know about them is to go to CharacterCountsAZ.com. Coming up next, one of the things that one of our listeners, Tom, just mentioned, the impact of J.J. Watt on culture. Let's talk about that. Just like the Chris Paul effect on culture. It's coming up on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Suns Day. That's pretty cool. Suns, Lakers tonight. And you just heard Mr. Big Voice that we're counting down to the biggest game of the season. Suns, Lakers tonight. Suns Day is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Tip off at 8 o'clock. Bloomer! And Tim will have the call for you right here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. D-backs actually have a radio game as well. They're taking on the Padres. That first pitch is at 1 o'clock. That'll be on ESPN 620 AM. But we've got a lot of focus on the J.J. Watt signing and the Suns-Lakers game tonight. And I think the correlation to yesterday is I feel so good about the exact same thought we had with Chris Paul. What did we say with Chris Paul? After Chris Paul did what he did in Oklahoma City, it was there's been some seasons where he hasn't been healthy, but he just came off a very healthy season in Oklahoma City, and look what happened.
It's a good analogy, yep.
And I look exactly at J.J. Watt, and for those of you that don't believe in this signing, I'm not calling you names. I'm not calling you out. J.J. Watt has a proven track history of the inability to stay on the field, and I think a five-year sample size is pretty good.
Yeah.
So, therefore, you are right if you're in the pump the brakes category on this one because of the injury history of J.J. Watt. But I do look at, don't you feel good about the Suns saying Chris Paul was worth the risk with what he's doing right now?
Yes.
And you could almost draw a straight line to J.J. Watt.
Yeah, no, you're right about that, Douglas. It's an excellent comparison. There's no doubt about it because of the tangible impact that CP3 has had on the Phoenix Suns. I'm talking about on the court and the intangibles that he's had off the court as a leader. I think the analogy is legit in regard to J.J. Watt. The impact he's going to have on the field with this team, I think, is going to be significant, and yet the only thing bigger might be the impact off the field in terms of his leadership. Listen, this guy, when you talk about J.J. Watt, think about everything this guy has accomplished, Basinonians. You're talking about a guy that is a three-time Defensive Player of the Year award. You're talking about a guy that is a five-time All-Pro, first-team All-Pro, five-time Pro Bowler, and a unanimous NFL 20-decade All-Decade selection. Unanimous. 2010, All-Decade team selection. Do you think he's got any field cred in that locker room?
Yep.
Yeah, you better believe he's got a ton of field cred.
We got an opportunity today. An opportunity that you've earned.
Yeah.
An opportunity that you deserve. An opportunity that's been a long time in the making.
Yes, sir!
We got what it takes. We got the talent. We got the effort. We got the
Brotherhood, yes, sir.
Right here.
Yes, sir.
Now it's up to us.
Yes,
every play, every rep, everything you got, you put it on the line.
Yes, sir.
For your brother.
Hell yeah.
So go out there, take the bull by the horns. I'm going to ask you how great you want to be, sir. Don't tell me. Show me. Greatness on three. One, two, three.
Die. Yes. See that right there? I mean, that guy, he's an all-decade team member right there. Unanimous all-decade team member. A guy that is going to be in the Hall of Fame when he's done. And you've seen him on film. You've sat in the rooms with him. You've watched him. You know he plays and balls out. You know he gives everything he's got, and all of a sudden he's yelling at you to do the same thing, to go out and back him up, because you know he's going to give it. You better give it. Can I just tell you right now, when you talk about not having a sense of urgency going into a game, right? And
that actually wasn't before a game. That was just at an Office Depot meeting.
That was before a game.
Oh, I see.
Standing there on the sideline. This is what you need. You have to do before you can say, based on our names. Never forget that. You have to do before you can say. And if you're out there talking all the time and you're not doing, believe me, you're going to be a pariah.
Do you think that John McClain knows a little bit about the Houston Texans?
Little.
Writer from the Houston Chronicle was on Bickley and Marotta yesterday, and they asked him, what does J.J. Watt bring to the locker room? As a guy that's been in that locker room since the inception of the Houston Texans.
Well, first of all, he's not going to come in there and act like he's a three-time winner of the NFL Defensive Player of the Year Award. He's going to come in. He's going to be humble. And he's got to earn that respect. Now, he's got credibility because of his career. But still, he'll be new in the locker room, and he will work his tail off. He'll be there early. He'll be the last to leave. He'll do things with his teammates. And I think he'll do a lot of talking to young guys if they ask him. He's happy to do that. You know, he's got some people there he knows, like Vance Joseph, Angelo Blacks, and DeAndre Hopkins. They'll introduce him around, and they'll see how hard he works at practice.
So that's a media point of view on what J.J. Watt brings to the locker room. How about a guy that's not only played but also worked in a front office? What does Lewis Riddick say J.J. Watt brings to the locker room?
Yeah, J.J. Watt is not, or rather, no, J.J. Watt's not a quarterback. And no, J.J. Watt is not the kind of quote-unquote winner, although I don't like to use that term when you're talking about quarterbacks. So he's not the kind of winner in terms of Super Bowls that Tom Brady is, but he's someone who has played this game at a tremendously high level, who has set a standard for how you go about preparing yourself in the offseason, conducting yourself during the season, and then having it manifest itself towards putting quarterbacks on the ground once we get to Sundays. That is something that you want on your football team. I don't care, you know, at what stage you are in your program build, whether you're a program that's already on the move and you're already contending for championships, or you're still on the up and, you know, on the rise and you're trying to get there. JJ is a positive in that regard.
The leadership and culture that JJ Watt will bring is exactly what this team needs. Culture becomes a collective personality in how you do things, how you go about your business as an individual and a team. It's who you are, Basin audience. And this is exactly what J.J. Watt is going to bring to the team and make probably the biggest impact, maybe even off the field. Maybe that's where the biggest impact is going to be. But I think the days of this up and down, play to your opponent, inconsistency, that I think those are numbered in the Cardinal locker room. Because I guarantee you, the front office has seen the inconsistency. The coaching staff has seen the inconsistency. The players have to understand that there was inconsistency with them last year. And now you're going to bring in a guy like J.J. Watt, and he's going to start gathering people around him. He's going to start gathering like-minded people around him. And he's going to form this nucleus, and that nucleus is going to grow. And it's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger. And then suddenly you've got an entire culture that has changed inside that locker room. This is huge.
This is going all the way back to December 1st, but today is Suns Day, and we're focused on Suns at Lakers tonight. But when you think of everything Wolf just said about J.J. Watt becoming a Cardinal, remember what Monty Williams said back in December about the Jay Crowders, the Chris Pauls, and those decisions, and see if that fits a J.J. Watt.
You know, when you add guys like Chris and Jay and Etuan and Langston and Damian, guys that we've looked at, played against, I've coached, coached against, and then you draft a talented kid like Jalen. We don't go into it just drafting their talent. We go into it drafting what we believe fits what we do. We love guys who love to hoop. We love guys who love the gym, who love to be coached, and guys we feel like can fit the culture values that we've tried to implement.
Sounds a lot like what you would say. J.J. Watt loves football, loves to work, and fits any culture evaluation.
And doesn't mind modeling it for everybody else.
Coming up next, big game tonight, Suns-Lakers. Now, if we could dream big enough to be able to dump the David Johnson contract, bring in DeAndre Hopkins, and now bring in J.J. Watt, can we dream big enough of what it would mean to beat the Lakers? That's next on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.